Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to this universe of His. Allah has made it so beautiful and valuable that there's nothing in this universe which is not precious, which is not valuable, which is a waste, which is not valuable. We see that as time passes, as the generations pass, and such things come out and are made apparent, that for example, before in a heart there wasn't any value for that or appreciation for that, but it becomes so beneficial for that era that he says, "Ooh, this was very valuable indeed, very precious indeed." And obviously, as the time progresses, there's illnesses and different challenges come and become visible. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared in such a way as time passes that as time passes, according to the understanding of man and intellect, that through his research and efforts, such things that Allah Ta'ala has created, and they may look very small and minor, but big cures are derived from them. And the names are changed or modified, but basically the principle is same, that it's very small factors in the universe. A person researches, looks into them, and then he realizes and comes across something, new knowledge. So anyway, there are things, there are precious diamonds, jewels, rubies, gold in the oceans. There are very beautiful things that Allah Ta'ala has hidden and concealed, that a human being cannot imagine what Allah Ta'ala has created in the universe. But from all of the precious things that Allah Ta'ala has created in the universe, the most precious of all is the human being. The human being's value, nothing can compare to the value of a human being. Take any valuable commodity, you cannot compare it to a human being. Allah Ta'ala, Lord Most High, has created the human being, man, that we cannot imagine what is it that Allah Ta'ala has created. What things Allah Ta'ala has given to us. What a form of creation that Allah Ta'ala made. Beautiful, handsome, no comparison to the handsomeness and beauty. Take any creation of Allah's in the universe. Nothing can compare the capacity of man. And the biggest thing that Allah Ta'ala instilled into man, wa, subhanAllah, the nearness to Allah, the attachment to Allah that human beings have. You can have big elephants, big animals. There are many animals that are so big and large, we cannot imagine their form, their image, and what they're like. But the small human being, his aql is way beyond the aql of other animals. Intellect. So very valuable is the human being that Allah Ta'ala has created. Who is the insan? Me and you that are sitting here. And the amount Allah Ta'ala has made us valuable, we the same way reduce and diminish our value in our own eyes. We start to worship animals. Those things that were created to serve us, scorpions, he starts to worship, human being. Worship scorpions. He starts to ask from strangers. His belief in Allah, trust in Allah, evaporates. Tawakkal Allah, it disappears. Such a great creation, insan, human being, the malaika, the angels, look at them. Themselves, the angels, how great they are. Not minor angels, those who have lifted the arsh, the throne of Allah, those angels. Azim, great status angels, Allah Ta'ala created them so that they can lift up and hold up Allah's arsh. They do dua for us human beings, those angels. And look, we don't recognize our own importance and greatness. We don't even recognize who we are. We have just recognized that my stomach's upset, I'm hungry, or I don't feel hungry, or I'm sick today, or I've got a fever today, I'm going to pass the day tomorrow. That's what we know for sure. My bed is warm, my mattress is warm, my business is running, or it's not running. More than that, we have no understanding of what we are about. Even the world laughs at us. You know the small ants, they crawl past us and laugh at us. What a useless human being. What was he created for? What is he doing? The ants say when they crawl past us. SubhanAllah. And me and you, we're sat here. I'm insan and mashallah. You are insan as well. Even the mosquito laughs at us. Even the birds laugh at us. The animals laugh at us when they get up When we see, you'll see such a climate comes up when you wake up in the morning, and you'll see that there's the crow, and you hear him from the tree, the bird. I don't know what's the name of that bird, a special species, beautiful, its voice and its singing all the way around us in the time of sunrise, morning. And nowadays it's winter, not in the winter, but when it's good weather, in the nice climate, you will hear that bird. And mashallah, the sun is rising and those birds are doing dhikrullah at that time, remembering Allah. And they're laughing at us, that this man, look at him, foolish person, look at their aqal, their understanding. Allah Ta'ala created them as ashraf, superior form of creation, the most valuable creation. And he doesn't even recognize himself. So what is the issue? Valuable definitely is human being. No doubt, nothing can compare to the value of human being. But the human being is valuable at that time. Now I'm telling you the phrase, listen carefully to what I'm saying. The human being is valuable, precious, expensive at that time when he makes his time valuable. When he makes his time valuable. Remember this. Me and you, we're not value even a taka currency. Yes? That even if a jinn comes us, takes our neck and he'll strangle us and he'll start making us do what he wants. Shayateen come and control us. A magician will start making us worship him and believe in him. Yes, and he'll make us recite different kalimat. Little bit of pain or difficulty coming to life, distress, issues, problems, that's the end of story. We're deflated. We give up. We give up. But in no condition is a human being minor, even if he's about to die, prior to dying, if he's ill, sick, at the time of death, even then he is very valuable, the human being. Even at that time, he's not weak and useless. In close to Allah's eyes, he's very expensive, precious. But which human being is precious and valuable? That human being who makes his time expensive, precious and valuable. If we want to become valuable, my brothers, and have a high price tag, and who will fulfill that price tag? Who will purchase us? Allah. Allah purchases that person. Allah invests in that person. Those people who have a high value, Allah Ta'ala takes them into His control. So what we need to see is that insan, he is valuable at that time when he utilizes and makes his time expensive. And he is wretched and lowly and worse than the animals, just like the Quran says, when he wastes his time. Time is such a measuring gauge. It is such a measuring gauge. It's such a massive wealth, time. We say, oh, this wealth, that money, currency, cash, etc. But time is such a massive ni'mah, treasure, the greatest treasure given to the human being. The greatest treasure and value is time that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Time. And for that, Allah hasn't differentiated or split it, that give to him or don't give to him. No, old, young, sick, healthy. Every man is on that same spectrum of time. You have that wealth, I have that wealth. Without time, you can't do nothing. Without time. We have that precious commodity, time, the resource. But the difference is that person who utilizes time correctly, this is a value, treasure. Time, you have it, I've got it. Both we can utilize in two ways. Just like a man, he has wealth and money, riches, and the other person also has riches and money. One man who has the money, the cash, he starts buying things, mashallah. He runs a business, buys cars, buys houses, assets, he utilizes money, and he utilizes money in certain ways, and prosperity comes more, and he multiplies. There's another man who has got a lot of money, and he goes to the gambling den, and he throws it onto alcohol and luxuries and comforts. Which person had aql? Tell me. Which man will be successful? That person who utilized the wealth correctly, cautiously. Tomorrow on the day of judgment, when there will be hisab, reckoning, then will be on the basis of this treasure, the standard. Allah says, I gave you that treasure, commodity. What a beautiful hadith of the Holy Prophet, that the greatest ni'mah of a human being is time and health. These two things, if you get, then you've got the greatest treasure in the universe. Forget the rest. Forget the rest. So, this is such an important point, and our success will be based on this. And hereafter, Allah will say, I gave you time. How did you utilize the time I gave you? What have you brought? And the time we've got, just like, for example, you take sand in your fist, and the sand starts to fall out of your fist, and it drops. Eventually, your fist is empty. Your hand is empty. Same way, time is not unlimited that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. It's not unlimited. time that just do what you want and pass it where you want. No, it's like, for example, in somebody's pocket, £100, there's £100, you need to utilize this £100, that's it, no more. £100, you won't get more than that, not a penny more. The man who has wisdom, he will cautiously, slowly spend it. Oh, the month is remaining, I've got to spend this £100. Today I won't eat nothing expensive, small thing, I'll be careful. I look towards £100, it's diminishing, it's reducing, I would use it for a week or a month. And the foolish man, what will he do? Oh, £100, 2 days, eat, drink, merry, and he'll waste it. And then what will he do? Oh, Yaar, can you loan me £100 and I'll pay you back? Or when I get paid at the end of the month, and then the debts start to accrue. My Hazrat Sahib used to say, the qaraz is a greater masla than the fard. Because in fard there's 1 point, but in the qaraz, the debt, there's 2 points. Two masail. Rasulullah sought refuge from debt. And how does the debt accrue? It can never increase the debt in your life. This is my experience, and it can never increase. Why? Because if you see that how much have you got, according to that, keep it lower than that, the limit, and spend in that way. And you'll save. And the sadqat will come out, the zakat will come out, alhamdulillah, from that money. But the person, oh, this is my money, and I do what I want, it's got money. Then 3 days he will finish that money. Oh, this, I'll do this, okay. And then you start asking people and begging from people. So the time that Allah Ta'ala has allotted to us, this is the same way we have to treat it. Remember this, that if we utilize time in a certain manner and a proper method, then it will give us benefit. Cautiously, carefully use it, correctly. But if you don't utilize time properly, just like you don't spend money properly, then you waste that time. Nothing will come into your account. So this is a very important, come on, look, there's a hadith. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu has narrated that the Prophet said, the meaning of the hadith is that in the morning when the sun rises and comes out at dawn, after that, this is exactly what will occur, that Rasulullah said, we look at the sun, it's come out, sunrise, sunset, this time, we look at the times and the timetable, but Allah's Nabi is providing us a different scene here. The real scene is the scene that the Rasul of Allah presents to us. We have made different drawings and sketches. He said, this is what's happening at sunrise. So beautiful, unique statement, that when the sun rises in the morning, said Rasul, yes, it does rise. It doesn't, that it comes out everywhere in the world. Isn't it? Sometimes it comes out everywhere, but sometimes the clouds, they don't allow us to see it, but it rises every day, the sun. So it doesn't just come out like that. No, subhanAllah, glory to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, when the sun comes out, then it announces Allahu Akbar. The sun announces when it rises. People who are attentive, they hear the announcement. So when those who have yaqeen in the hadith, belief, then they hear that beautiful announcement. Those who have yaqeen, belief in the hadith, their ears are pricked at that time. Alert. The biggest kashf, you know, that Allah Ta'ala gives to a mu'min is yaqeen, certainty. When your certainty increases, then your kashf, your vision will increase. You think it's mujahida, working hard, and different supernatural things you see. Kashf. Remember, the more your yaqeen is strong and kamil, and you make your yaqeen and belief strong, then you will understand the realities of life. And your yaqeen will then translate into mushahidat, experiences you will see physically. I have total yaqeen, Allah, this will happen, that will happen, and that will become your life experience physically. No supernatural actions. So these are valuable points I'm making. Note them down, what I'm saying. Note them. They don't come automatically. I don't prepare for them. Yes? That even today I've realized that what is kashf, even that point of that if anyone has kashf, if you're not seeing anything, that's your fault. If you don't understand the reality of what's around, if you want to attain the reality of life, don't run left and right, do this chilla, this wazifa, this prayer, this dua. No. Allahu Akbar. If you sit with the wali Allah, then strengthen your yaqeen and iman and belief, and kashf will automatically come. Then you'll see the experiences of what's true and real. When I used to think, and then when I sat with Hazrat Abdul and started to think, before and after was a massive difference after I made my shaykh. Tawakkul increased, because the shan, the glory, the effect of the shaykh, it splashes onto you, into your heart. The effect of the shaykh. That's the effect of sohbat, company of the shaykh. The Quran says this, Allah Ta'ala has taught us, Jama'ah has been prepared, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, they taught us the effects of sohbat, company, physical company of the teacher. And that's the production like of the human beings. Just like a magnet, if you put something, the metal next to the magnet, it will draw it, it will pull on it. That's the effect. So, for example, if the two opposite forces, they pull on each other, they attract each other. The same way the human being who has that need. So why is this metal attached to the to the opposite pole. And the same way that the student and the teacher, yeah, so the magnet is the sheikh, and it pulls on the student. Pulls on the student. He had that strength. He had the force, and it pulled on the student. And subhanAllah, then that same student, he also becomes the force that pulls on other people in a good way. Same way the human being, when he has sobered good company, if the rubs off onto the individual. Yaqeen, certainty, is such a great asset that it then translates into kashf and karamat and physical life experiences where a person understands the reality of what's around him. Allahu Akbar. So as I was saying, requesting, the time, the sun, when it rises, the sun. This is what I was saying, wasn't it? Yes, mashallah, you are those who pray shurak in the morning. Mostly the brethren are here, that Allah Ta'ala has given the great ni'mah in the morning. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. That who in the universe gets these rewards? This is what, how can we dare to wake up? We don't even have the strength to get up from the bed. We're overcome with sleep. Sleep doesn't let us get up. It's Allah's fazl, His grace, His mercy, His blessings, and it's the effect of good company. The magnet, when you attach to the magnet, then he had the habit and then it pulls on us and we get the same habit, alhamdulillah. Yes, doesn't matter how many alarms you set, but if you take the company of someone who wakes up, then you learn how to wake up as well. Automatically you learn how to wake up, subhanAllah. Sobat company is a very great asset. That's why I stated, if you find a wali Allah, then super glue yourself to that wali of Allah. Don't even think twice that you should be far from him. No way. Attach yourself to him. In between, storms will come, shaitan will come, nafs will come. But one thing that will save us, what is the hadith saying? What is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying? That he's talking rubbish, shaitan and nafs, that he's taken us away from the wali Allah. We will implement what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that we can never get lost from good company, good sohbat. We will never leave this teacher of ours. It doesn't matter what happens, high and low, but this man we will not leave. His company. Yes? That, for example, what benefit can I give to that person? None. He is benefiting me, alhamdulillah. Yes, because the sheikh, for example, he gets a bit fed up. Hasab, I want to speak to you. Hasab, please guide me. He eventually gets fed up. The teacher isn't, oh, please leave me. Why are you running after me, etc. Obviously. But we are those who are in need. We are those in need. Allah Ta'ala says, even that man, the teacher, gets such a heart that he then starts to love his students as well. He has that capacity. Then he feels like, then why isn't my student speaking to me? Why isn't he coming to me? Why didn't he meet me today? Why didn't he come to me? Where's he disappeared to? What's the issue? Does he want money? Is he in difficulty? Does he need something to help him? For example, the mother and father, they write to the child, oh, why are you not writing to me? They want money or a check. But the sheikh doesn't need money. Naturally, he has the love for the student for the sake of Allah. Yeah, where are you, my student? I haven't seen you. In his heart, he's thinking, I haven't heard from him for a few days. He doesn't say. Then directly says to Allah in his time, that Allah, what's up to that man? Bring him. And then in the dream it comes that your sheikh is calling you. Why don't you go to the company of your sheikh? He sees the dream, the student. Many people have this experience. Why don't you wake up in the morning? Why don't you wake up? Then he's ashamed. Then he comes back. That, for example, Allah, you guided me to this path. I should go back and I should learn. So the sheikh, he reminds the student. So this is the example of love in the path of Allah. It's a deep connection of love. Yeah, going back to the hadith before I forget it. So Allah's Nabi Sallam has stated, then the morning isn't just what we see from eyes. The sun rises, subhanAllah. When it rises, it announces when the sun rises. What is the announcement of the sun? And this is a precious announcement of the sun. It says, oh people, I have come today, I've risen. And today after today, I won't come tomorrow. Subhanallah, the sun says. Allah's Nabi Sallam is saying this. The sun announces, I've arrived, I've risen after today, I won't come tomorrow. The sun says, today where I've come, that's it for today. That's it. Remember this. He won't come tomorrow. And whatever you have to do, you have to please your Lord, to please your Lord. And the point I'm saying now, I am explaining the meaning of the hadith. These aren't the words of the hadith. These are the explanation that I've come, whatever you have to do. What does that mean? Whatever you have to do. Whatever action you need to do to please your Lord Allah. How? Whatever time you utilize today, subhanAllah, that I am here just for today. Today, the time that you will utilize, that tomorrow you will not get. That tomorrow you will need that time. What does it mean tomorrow? Tomorrow when you depart from this world. That's what it means, tomorrow. I'm here today, time says. And tomorrow, at that time I'll meet you when you'll be there hereafter. So today I've been sent to you to utilize me correctly in this time, in this world, and your hereafter. SubhanAllah. That the tilawat you do today, you won't be able to do tomorrow. The dhikr you do today, you won't be able to do tomorrow. Today, the company of the shaykh that you attain, you won't get that tomorrow. This is the meaning. Today is now, while you're alive. It will not come back the time. That's why the pious predecessor, my Hazrat Sahib, used to say, that everything you can do qaza, but the qaza of the company of the shaykh, never can you do. Never. There's a point that's coming, so you'll understand what I'm saying. The company of the teacher, you cannot compensate for it. This majlis, I'm sat with you pious people. I'm a sinful person. I'm benefiting from you pious people. What's the benefit? Why is Allah saying that there's a praise for this gathering, praise for the dhikr. One person doing dhikr on his own is good. One person in his room doing dhikr is good. In the masjid doing dhikr is good. And sitting on the road path doing dhikr is different. Everything, there's different taste and enjoyment. But this majlis gathering, Allah's house, Allah's home, majma, assembly, gathering different people from different eras, different times, different places sat, there's a unique color and effect of this gathering. Listen to what I'm saying carefully. So what's the point here? That this majlis assembly, the rahmah that rains down from Allah now in this gathering, today at this time, on this day, on this month, in this year, will not come tomorrow. Remember this, it will be wrapped up after the gathering finished. Today, on this day, 2nd December, on this evening, these brothers sat down. Allah, they did your remembrance. The envelope will be sealed tomorrow, the next time maybe, but it's gone. Today is gone. Where's it gone? That if my life is 60 years, 70 years, then one day this assembly, the hisab of this amal, will arrive to the heavens today. It will go up. That's it. Will not come back. Whoever has joined in, no reading Quran, didn't do talawat, didn't do dhikr, didn't do anything in this day, didn't do no action. What do you call this? He has wasted his time. Wasted his time. Cannot come back tomorrow. Announcement by the sun when it rises, Allahu Akbar. So this hadith became hadith, and this hadith has come to us. What does this mean? That alhamdulillah, we are educated, taught, read it, share it, tell people and do amal on this hadith. Give the message that beware, don't think that today I don't do dhikr, oh, it's okay, you've wasted this day and thawab, such a great thawab you've wasted today, how great a thawab for this? Allah's Nabi himself stated that in Jannah is such a place, abode, paradise you'll get it, but Jannah, whoever attains Jannah, say Subhanallah, Jannah, whoever attains Jannah, Jannah you'll attain. Yes, whoever attains Jannah, paradise, how will Jannah be? The definition of Jannah, you know what has been stated about Jannah, that there, the things in paradise, the assets in paradise, the smallest level of Jannah, even if you're there, you're Jannati. Even there, the praise of Jannah comes in this way. That Jannah, paradise, even the lowest level, there will be such things there that your eyes will never have seen those, your ears will never have heard those things, nor will your heart ever thought of those things. Your mind never would have imagined the things. End of story. Forget that you can even contemplate what is paradise, even the lowest level of paradise. Impossible. What is there? What is paradise? We cannot even think. Allah Ta'ala, what He has made and created and manifested, so beautiful universe of this that we're living in. Despite this, in the whole universe, there's nothing that can equate to the beauty of paradise. What beautiful flowers on planet Earth. Take this species, take the rose, take the dandelions, take all the species in this planet Earth of flowers, the ways of the ocean, the seas, the rivers, and the jewels and the precious rubies. Combine them all together. Allah says, I've made this world beautiful, no doubt. It's not a waste. Why? Because in this world, the beautiful human being is going to come and live, Allah says. And he'll be my beloved servant, Allah says. That's why I created. So why shouldn't I decorate this world, this universe we're living in? And despite decorating this universe so much, and we're living in this world, Allah Ta'ala has given the example of paradise on a different level. That you cannot understand paradise. Only there, when you arrive there and see it, you will understand it. And every human being, whoever he is, and he's in paradise. Even if he's a me, lowly person, and the last person to go in paradise, but at least he'll be a jannati, isn't it? For him, it's been said, the things that he will have, never his eyes will have seen it, never the ear will have heard it, nor will the heart or the mind imagine. Brothers, after that, can you make an excuse for not understanding what is jannah? When we have a need for anything, we'll say, Allah, I'm so grateful to you. As soon as I think of something, it comes in front of me in Jannah. I don't even think, the thought doesn't even end. And the clothes come, I stop out thinking about clothes, the trees grow, there are clothes hanging off the trees, clothes, attire. Allah, I think about food and it flies to me. If I sit down and think, though, what are those things I think about? Allah, I'm imagining they come. Think about transportation, beautiful transportation comes to me. Whatever I have desires, they come to me immediately. And we left the world and we were broken down, bone idol, Allah. I didn't even have a flat to live in the world, Allah. I didn't even have a flat. I was a fakir and beggar and hungry. When he goes there, he gets all these things. Will he ever need for anything else? But our Prophet draws the sketch, say subhanAllah. He said that Jannati will be sat there in this beautiful Jannah we've just discussed. I'm giving the meaning of the deep explanation. And the Sahaba Karam, they're listening, the noble companions. And they were ashiks beyond lovers. They were lovers of Allah and His Rasul. The Sahaba, they're listening. And Rasulullah said that Jannah, Ya Rasulullah, just as you say, yes, Jannah is the best. As just as you say, Rasulullah said, this is the definition of Jannah. The great definition, and how Rasulullah used to describe Jannah, and how the Sahaba used to listen. And they imagined they were seeing it, even though they couldn't contemplate it. Rasulullah said, that can this be a place where you will regret? No, Ya Rasulullah, Jannah, as you say, cannot be. How can a man regret there? Rasulullah, even in Jannah, the Jannati will regret. Say subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. This is not for hearing. Why am I discussing this today? So we can reform ourselves. Improve ourselves. This is, we are discussing today. Not that we're all a whole Jama'ah. Not just you sitting in a whole Jama'ah. That we should fulfill the gaps. Yes, today, the sun that rose, it's announced, it's gone. Tomorrow, don't let it come out without us understanding. Say subhanAllah. So, Rasulullah said, even there in paradise, the people of thereafter, Jannah, after going to Jannah, highest grade of Jannati, he will even regret. Why will they regret? On one point, they will regret. That those things I explained to them, told them, the wealth that I explained to them about, what was that wealth? The regret they will have, they will regret for this reason, that if only, the Jannati, this is regretting. If only the time that I spent in the world where I was negligent and I didn't remember Allah, if only I didn't spend those seconds without remembering Allah. Because due to their ghaflat, their negligence, due to not remembering Allah at that time, when they see the reward in thereafter, there they will regret, if only we didn't waste the time. If only at that time we also did dhikrullah. Such a big loss. The time that is spent in this world without doing dhikrullah, tell me, what will we do in the hereafter? And what do we think in this world? Sitting here? Oh, 5 times salah I prayed, that's enough. Don't tell me anymore. Alhamdulillah. Yes, fasting month comes, that's fine. Okay, very good, brother. I've recited Quran in the morning, 3 juz, 5 para, that's enough. Okay, very good, mashallah. Yes, I'm free, don't tell me to do anything else. Yes, I've done enough. Look, I praise Allah and other people, mashallah, in the mobile. You can watch programs. I've read Quran in the morning. I've done dhikr in the morning. That's enough. In the evening, I have done dhikr. The rest of the time, what shall I do? What shall I do? Finish? Waste? Yes? The rest of the time of the day? So in between all the hours, where have they gone? Are they for wasting? Allah Ta'ala said, even one sa'ah, one breath of time, one moment of breath is not to be wasted. Look at the balance of our lives now. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. 5 times salah I prayed, that's enough. Alhamdulillah. Okay, you prayed. Okay, you done tilawat of Quran. And that's it, that's enough for me. Don't tell me anymore. Mashallah, I'm free now. Many times you'll see, quickly, let's go and sit down and we'll do gapshap. Let's make cup of tea, gossip, chit-chat, wife, children, friends. Do we do this or not? Tell me. That's astaghfirullah. Mu'min's life like this, such value we put to our lives, that we utilize our time like this. Mu'min is a very valuable creation. Have you ever seen a valuable human being? Mu'min, believer. Subhanallah, the awliya Allah, they are the valuable human beings. They are the valuable, these are the awliya Allah who utilize their time in the right way. That person becomes a waliya Allah who does not waste his time. He doesn't just satisfy the 5 times salah or tahajjud. Yes? Or he doesn't say, I've just done these actions and this time of day, that's enough. No, no, no. Not even 1 second, 1 sa'ah, not even a moment does he like to waste, the wali Allah. Oh, I've done enough now. No, for the sake of Allah, think, that every day our grave is calling us. We are going to the grave. We're walking to the grave. All the brothers sitting in, minus this day from your life. How much time is left? Those people who got white beards, they are waste already. Those who got white beards. 30, 40 days or years, minus 10, 15 years left. Then sicknesses, this illness, that virus, this sickness, this disease. Look at the sicknesses that are descending very regularly. So time is short. So now, regretting in the hereafter, a person will regret beyond regret. This is not the standard of a mu'min though. The awliya Allah, they are the awliya Allah who don't waste their time. Yes, Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullahi. Look at the value of time. That person, for example, who backbites, and the person, for example, wastes the time. But those people who utilize time correctly, it becomes valuable. Everything in the universe starts to recognize that person who uses the time correctly. Creation recognizes him, whether he does or not. He doesn't recognize them. Why? Because he has no need to look out for them and yearn for them. He's occupied in his work. So Allah has put a veil between him and the creation, but the forms of creation respect him. Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah, I remember his example. Shall I share that with you? Ibrahim bin Adam? You know what he was. He was a king. Ibrahim bin Adam, the king of Balkh. Big king. And he started to leave all of that and wandered around in the wilderness. Why? Because he was a king. And in that kingdom, that he, half the people around him were munafiqs. They said, oh, I want him to die so we can get his riches and treasure. And that's why people, you'll see, all politicians, look today, in this day and age, people who are leaders, ministers, and political party, whatever party you're associated with, they're inside, your colleague saying, I want him to pass so I can take his MP position, become a minister. Nobody's sincere. No one's sincere with the king of the day. No one's sincere. They're all sidekicks. Usakis, everyone knows that he's going to expire and we're waiting for that time. This is the case, isn't it? Because for the dunya, they're running after him for dunya. For mal, wealth and money and treasure. That I want to get more, I want to be sidekick, then he'll give me more. And everyone's running after him to please him. So the king, he knew the king that this is all drama. Nobody's genuine around me. That if, for example, if a little difference occurs, minor difference, even my employee will listen to me. If I come off the throne, he'll throw slippers at me. Ibrahim bin Adam. And he kicked that kingdom to the side. He said, is this something after which I should run after? I can't even trust my own kingdom. So he made a decision that come, let me seek that Lord who is the real king. And then he went out into the wilderness. Life of detachment from the dunya. He became a valuable human being, but he didn't know his value. Remember this. He didn't know his value. You'll become valuable if you utilize the time correctly. But you won't even know yourself your value. That if you realize your value, then maybe you'll get a big head. If you want to know your value, then look at your time. That how much are you utilizing it correctly. Yeah, this is muhasabah. I'll come on to this point as well in a minute. Very simple points I'm explaining. Is it complicated to understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying today? MashaAllah. Okay, so now tell me. That subhanAllah, but he didn't have the understanding of his value. He was wandering around in the jungle, the forest, and the lion came out. The lion. Jungle, forest, man on his own, and a wild lion, and he's running fast to him. Tell me his hal at that time. Imagine, Ibrahim with him, he was afraid suddenly. Ooh, I'm gone now. I'm finished today. Lion's coming towards me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. But he had a value. The price tag was there. Allah Ta'ala had purchased him already. Allah had taken him under his fold. Allah had given him the value. Immediately then the noise came. The announcement came. Oh Ibrahim, what's happened to you? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? From this lion you are afraid? Oh foolish. Behind you, 50,000 angels are there protecting you. 50,000 angels. That you think I will leave you? That you have left the world for me, subhanallah. You have not even seen the dunya at night or day. You've sacrificed the world for me. Then will I not help you and protect you in your time of need? Allah Akbar says, subhanallah. Subhanallah. So brothers, Allah Ta'ala doesn't leave His servants. If you sacrifice for Allah, for the akhirah, that we are those who run after the dunya, isn't it? Let's just weigh it up. No, I don't have time. I haven't got time to do this. Then obviously you have no value. No price. That is there any value for your five times salah? That's it. You don't do anything else. But Ibrahim and Adam, look how did he become Wali Allah. The Allah made him a wali, Allah, why am I not a wali? Why is he a wali? Why am I not a wali? We know how to complain, how to compare ourselves to other people, but we don't see that how much have I lowered myself and crushed my desires. Whoever has crushed his desires, Allah has made him valuable. Yes. So, but he was Ibrahim Madam, he did this, supernatural acts. So he was a king in the world, alcohol. And he crushed his ego and desires. He said, I want to attain Allah's nearness. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَى وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَى. Allah says, impossible. If you crush your desires, that you do not become my servant. He took that message. And then, subhanAllah, that he had to sacrifice the dunya. He understood that, realized that we don't even sacrifice one thing of the world. We don't even end the bad habits of the phone. We don't stop watching programs on the phone. For Allah's sake, say, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So it's in our hands, the situation. The Quran we recite, we look at the Quran, Allah sees the Quran in our hands. He's given us, read it. What's written in the Quran? That this is how you're going to attain my nearness. This is how you're going to attain my nearness. This is how I'll come to you, I'll help you, and you'll love me and I'll love you. And if you do this action, you'll become my beloved. If you do Amal on my Habib, some Sunnah, I'll make you my beloved. Is the Quran saying this or not? Tell me. Then, I'm ashamed of wearing the imam of the turban, I'm ashamed of following the sunnah, I'm ashamed of practicing the deen. If you are ashamed, you won't become beloved of Allah, and then we cry that I'm lost, I don't know the way. Then Muslim asile, this problem, this, I don't want to do this, this is hard, and if this happens, this happens to my life. Simple message from the Quran. Come to me, Allah says, I'll make you my beloved servant, but imitate my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam first. And then we make maslahs, excuses, not necessary, not important, this maslah, that maslah. Nobody thinks that whoever wants to become the love of Allah, whoever wants to attain Allah's nearness, then he drowns in the sunnah. He jumps into the ocean of the sunnah. You got the message. Then he doesn't look left and right. Which country am I in? Where am I? Who's around me? What am I? What am I not? One brother, his story was such. Anyway, we'll go off the track if I talk about that. That I was going to tell you the story about the imam. A beautiful, fantastic story about the imam. Anyway, so what was I saying? Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullahi alayhi. The lion, when he saw Allah said, Ibrahim, is that it? Is this me in your friendship? Allah Ta'ala said, that 50,000 angels are around you, protecting you in the jungle. There's nothing here to harm you. Let him come, that lion. Let him come. The lion came with the bravery and bold, and suddenly, then it lay down on its paws. You know, just like people when they look after their dogs and the dog jumps up and down with love. Then it came and it put his paw on the shoulder of Ibrahim bin Adam. With love, with respect. One sahabi. Look at the sahaba. Haven't you seen the story about the sahaba in the jungle? They said, oh, we are the sahaba of Rasulullah. Listen, oh creatures of the jungle. Who's listening to them? Yes? Noble companions, they had yaqeen, certainty. Say, subhanAllah. This is what we need, my brothers. Yaqeen, certainty, belief, conviction. Oh, what's the saying? No, we don't have this belief. They had yaqeen that was instilled in them. They've heard this, and now I'll tell you, who are they telling? In the jungle, the sahaba telling who? The creatures say, subhanAllah. We don't even have yaqeen. The Allah's Nabi said, when you go home, say, assalamu alaikum. If there's someone there or not, jannat, farishtas, angels, they'll reply to you. We don't even believe in that. We don't say, oh no, there's no one at home. I don't need to say salam. We don't have belief. Fuzul, we say, waste of astaghfirullah. We don't say salam. We're going to, if you had yaqeen and belief that there are angels in your house and jannat are there, all are there, then you would go home and say, assalamu alaikum, just like Rasulullah has told us to. But what do? We only have yaqeen in those words that just do this much and just is enough. And cook food for people. We understand cooking and eating and food. Allah said, sit about this dish and that, eat meat. Rasul said, eat ghost and eat the leg meat and the shoulder meat. Everyone knows this. And consume honey. Everyone knows about food. Eating, drinking, all the sunnahs we memorize. Say, subhanAllah. We memorize everything. And eat dal, lentils, and put meat into that, and put butter into that, and make this and that. We know all the recipes. When you're hungry, you know all the sunnahs with regard eating. Even now you're probably hungry. Sunnah, halwa, sweet. And if you waste, why didn't you eat, put sweet into the recipe, into the menu? People complain. We know about these sunnahs. Allahu Akbar. So, what did he say? Look at his yaqeen of the sahaba, the noble companions. The sahaba and the awliyaullah, their yaqeen is very similar. It's comparable, very comparable, the two. So they're not looking at anyone, but they heard from before. They came with a message from their master. Says that Rasulullah said, "You are my sahabi, my companion. Your value is very high. Don't worry." Radiyallahu anhum. Allah says, "Whoever Allah Ta'ala announces in the universe, I am happy with the sahaba. Why? Because your time, you did not waste your time. Just that's why you have the price tag. The time I gave you of sahaba, the wealth I gave you of time, you have spent that time very beautifully. You're not wasting one penny, 1 pound. Subhanam." Say subhanam. First class, your time is being utilized. Your accounts are good. You have no need to take a debt or a loan. The amount of time I've given you, the wealth, in a beautiful way, you are spending that money. You are creating beautiful things for your hereafter. Subhanallah. So now we're sat here. So obviously we have a wealth. It's valuable. Make your breath valuable. Even one breath is not to be wasted. Otherwise Allah would not have given us this breath. One breath. Say subhanallah. No, even one breath. Do you understand what I'm saying up to now, today? Do you understand what I'm saying? MashaAllah. So should we waste time, our breaths? Should we waste our breaths? Tell me. Very valuable. If you make your breaths valuable, Allah is announcing. So the sahaba said in the jungle, "Oh creatures of the jungle, listen to us. We are the companions of Rasulullah. We want to pass through here. It's night time. We want to rest here. Beware lions, monkeys, cheetahs, big jungle, forest. Don't pester us. Let us rest in peace." What do they see? Subhanallah. That all the animals, even to the minor creatures, are running away with their children. The lions, the lionesses, and the deers, they're scarpering, running. Not one creature remained with ease and comfort. The sahaba slept. Who were they? They were valuable people, the sahaba ikram, the noble companions. And this is the glory of the awliya Allah as well. This is the definition of a wali Allah. A wali Allah knows how to spend time. He doesn't know here how valuable he is, but the value has been placed on his name. When they raise their hands, Allah accepts their duas. What is it? What is it when somebody sits next to a wali Allah, he starts to feel good and nice? What is it that the human being starts to love the wali Allah more than his own parents? More than his own parents. What is it inside that wali Allah? He has the value. The sheikh has the value. Yes? Because he's util. Allah Ta'ala has put the valuable. He's precious. Why? Because the resource of time that Allah Ta'ala gave to him, the value, the precious commodity of time, he utilizes it correctly. Say subhanallah. Very good subject today, isn't it? Very good subject. Every Thursday night, night of Jummah, you take good knowledge and treasure back. MashaAllah, maal. I spoke in your language, maal. You take good money away. Today you understand. I didn't even know if I was going to speak today. Wallahi, I swear by Allah. I thought, let's go. Maybe Allah will allow me to sit down and we'll discuss something. Today, MashaAllah, you, with your blessings, have made me benefit as well. Yes. So then, so valuable the human being becomes, that the angels, they start to come to him to say, "Salaamu alaikum." They shake his hands. Angels, they come to do his ziyarah. They fight and argue. No, I want to go today. There's a line. I want to go and meet the human being today. I want the angel who comes to meet the man, he cannot come again. They have to rotate. Imam Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullahi, was sat down in his hujra, in his room. And Hazrat Sarhan Sharif, rahmatullahi, and from his heart he said, "Aha, Allah, that you've made me very occupied in the work of your deen. Allah, in my heart, I have a feeling I also have the love with the Kaaba. And I have not been able to go there to your house, Allah. I don't know if I can go. I'm so busy and occupied." And he was in Maraqba. Then the Kaaba itself came to him. Hazir, I'm here present. And do tawaf. Subhanallah. This is in his writings. And it came and it was there embedded in the land in front of him. It's not difficult for Allah. Because the earth and what it contains, it runs with the orders of Allah. Not our principles, Kaaba. How can I go? You know, people, they start getting shocked. What's this you're talking about? No, it cannot be. It can be real. Such bad statements they say about these true events. But you don't have yaqeen in Allah's power. Allah can do what He wants. Anything can happen. You don't have yaqeen and belief in Allah's power. The Kaaba, how can it dare? If Allah says, go there, I'll go there. Come here, go there. It's up to Allah. The Kaaba cannot dare to answer. Wherever Allah Ta'ala wants it to go, wherever is tajalli and magnificence. As Imam Rabbani was so valuable to Allah, because he was a great wali Allah. And his price, his value was very high. The Kaaba has no value compared to that. The Kaaba came to him. And Allah said, "Oh my wali, Kaaba's come, you do tawaf and your friends do tawaf and see what you want to see." Subhanallah. And it didn't just come. Allah says that, subhanallah, the speciality of it, I will instill into the earth around you. And for us, we don't even yaqeen it. How will we get yaqeen? Belief that, for example, show me hadith, show me the proof, show me the proof this happened. 5 times salah I pray and we don't know beyond that. Look at the questions we have. Doubt. Waswasa, doubt. Waswasa, doubt. So brother, they were great people, achieved great maqam. One maqam in the next month, this is, comes in such a way. So when it's happened, and it's happened, what was that? The one maqam and level comes, that the tajalli, the magnificence in the level of the Naqshbandi silsila, is that the tajalli, that splendor of magnificence of Allah, that whoever he looks at, that person starts to become a believer. This level also comes into the awliya Allah. So immersed and so valuable he becomes, that believer, whoever he looks at. Subhanallah. It happened that one Shaykh Ramdari was that when in Hindustan, he used to look at the people who didn't have no iman, they became Muslims. You will have read this. Subhanallah. So he tried a lot. People interviewed him. What do you do? That, for example, even severe Hindus, are you a magician? They become Muslims. He said, what rubbish are you speaking? A magician? You don't know. He says that in his face, there's so much nur. When we go to him, we become Muslims. We're forced to become Muslims. So this is the value that Allah Ta'ala places on that person, on the insan. Do you mean, who are those people? Who are those people who utilize the time correctly? They don't waste time. They utilize time correctly. And now, listen carefully, that how is time wasted? Wretched way of utilizing time. Our worst enemy, avowed shaitan, he with time, he brings new ways of wasting time. How shall I waste these human beings' time so they don't become the beloved servants of Allah? So they regret in this world and they continue to regret in thereafter. Let them continue to cry. I'll make them cry in the hereafter as well. And there's only one way to make them cry, that their salah, I'll make them forget salah. Third, I'll make them pray salah. I'll make them keep 30 fasts, but I'll make them waste the time in between. I'll then make them say, I've done hajj, no problem, I've done umrah, that's enough. Today, let me enjoy myself. Oh, I don't need to, I've done umrah, I've prayed salah today. Many people do hajj umrah, and they don't pray salah in jama'ah and congregation. I'm too tired. Well, shaitan has done waswasa with them. Happens, doesn't it, to people? So we should never do this, remember. That's why I'm speaking today. The mu'min, he should never say he's tired. He's had enough. As long as you have life, as long as your breaths are running, every breath, up and down, in and out, make it valuable. Utilize it correctly. Every breath you need to earn the reward of Jannah. Every breath Allah Ta'ala gives that. Every breath. So who do we compare to? Who do we compete with? Shaitan. He'll divert us. Oh, look at that program. Look at the screen. And look at these attractions. Ban shaitan from your body. He's wasting my time. This is the fight. And this is the reason that as the generations pass further away, Rasulullah ﷺ, as time passes away from Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, I remember hadith in Mishkat. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu erased his hadith. And the meaning of the hadith is like this. The ulama ikram, respected scholars, they're present. They're aware. The Allah's Nabi SAW said that work, work, the meaning of the hadith. Make effort, work as quickly as you can, earn for the hereafter, as much as you can. May not be that fitnas, disorder, and trials descend and rain on you such that they surround the whole of the era and the generation. And just like the night envelopes and surrounds you in the evening. That before that time comes that you are overtaken by fitna, don't be lazy, negligent. Work, make effort. Before time runs out. Obviously, this is not the definition of a mu'min, that he wastes time. The warning's been given, the time will come. Fitnas, wrong actions, disorder. This is the age of fitna, disorder, and corruption, and ways of wasting time. There's so many actions today to waste time, so many times. Before it used to be that he's playing cards or kabaddi in the village desert. There were things, but now to waste time, don't even ask. There's no chance not to waste time. The flip side is gone. There's no chance not to waste time. This is our extreme situation. The people are in dhikr in the majlis. They're looking at their phones during the majlis. They're talking, they come to Jamaat congregation. At the back, they're looking at their phones. They're talking over their phones. Yes? fair enough. Okay, at least they're trying. But what do we need to do? We don't want to go to a broken down waste of time. In Islam, there's no thing, oh, at least he's trying. No, do the ala, high level practice that Rasul is defined. Shaitan makes you feel happy. Oh, at least I'm trying. I've come to the masjid. I can do this and that. No, that's the wrong way of thinking. No, you'll get nothing from this. You'll regret there as well. If you want to attain, then step forth and work hard. Use your whole life and get to the destination that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed to you. Not, oh, I'm trying, that's enough, I'm working hard, I have a lot of anger. When someone says, I'm trying, I can't do more than that, why don't you try, just try in the dunya. When you say, how did your day pass? Oh, I tried in the world. No, what do we do to get money? We take loans and debts, we run and we sweat and we toil. When it comes to ibadah, oh, I tried to do ibadah. Why are you trying and why are you not achieving when it comes to deen? Close to Allah, is this a small thing, the deen? And for the dunya, we run and we sweat and we toil. This is shaitan. Shaitan. A human being should never be satisfied with this ibadah. The Allah Ta'ala was not able to please you. Next Allah will please you, Allah. Next Allah will please you. That's, don't waste time saying, oh Allah, I came, I've done, that's enough. No. Be ready for the next occasion. Say subhanAllah. So shaitan, if you don't fight shaitan, shaitan will overwhelm you. He will beat you. That, no, I'm not going to look at this screen. Close it, switch it off. Practice for 1 week, inshallah, you'll be detached from that device. You will switch it off. You say, honestly, I don't want to do it. Nafs, just crush their desires. Allah says, if you act against your nafs, see how my rahmah descends to you. Such a big story has a Yusuf alayhi salam, Nabi. Prophet of Allah, a woman is enticing him. She made a palace, a hard, strong door. She had so much love for the Nabi of Allah. She prepared the locks. She sent her husband on a journey so she could get rid of him. She put padlocks on the doors, locks on the doors, proper locks. Padlocks, chains. She called Yusuf alayhi salam, invited him, enticed him, attracted him. But look, Allah says, look at you, had all the attractions. Let's see, Mashik, we had the ishq with Allah. We are moments and we don't even have that ishq with Allah. Yes, that we can sacrifice all the attractions. Allah have come to visit you. Allah have come to meet you. And she trapped, this is the story, we get the lesson from this story. A woman, she was in love with that man, and she's preparing and planning and plotting. She made a palace, closed the doors and the locks, so that with ease she could trap him and control him, bring her into control. She sends her husband away, go to that place and travel and do this and that in that place. She prepared fully, what was it? Ishq, love she had. That was her love, her fake love. And it's making her do all that. She was mad and crazy. But what ishq do we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One salah, we say, oh, I prayed, I tried. That's it. We should prepare, be ready, and go to Allah's home. I'll please Allah with, I'll do wudu like this. I'll apply fragrance. Allah's Nabi some utilize this sunnah. I'll walk like this. I'll sit like this. I'll pray like this. Allah say, oh, my servant is coming in a nice way. But we already in advance say, oh, it's okay, I'll just do it like this. That's it. In advance. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Don't write. First shaitan, what does he do? He diminishes that human being. He listens. Never let shaitan lure you. Say, oh, I'm going to please Allah, the Lord of the universe. Subhanallah. Yes, nafs. Suppress your nafs. This story tells us. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at Allah's rahmah. So she, 7 doors, she locked them. Come, she called him. She closed the doors. She said, come, I desire you. I have love. I'm waiting for you. Where will you go? He said, ooh, he looked around him, ooh, Allah, I'm trapped here, that your Malik, I am the servant of your Lord, how can I do this action, how can I breach the trust, I am the trust in your husband's name. And then he utilized that statement. Then eventually a man can slip, obviously human being, Allahu Akbar, he was inside, he sought refuge in Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala, see how he helped him, Allah instilled into his heart. That's it. He didn't understand. He was confused. And nafs, it starts to increase. And nafs, to defeat the nafs, he did one action. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Great lesson from this event. To defeat his nafs, his ego, he did an action. What was that? That he turned to Allah. He focused on Allah. He sought refuge in Allah. What did he do? He turned to Allah. Because we cannot control ourselves. Allah, I've gone. I'm finished. Allah. He said this was Allah, I'm gone. Allah, if you don't do anything, then I'm gone. I'm finished. Only one way, one method, raju ilallah. And how did he turn to Allah? Amlan, he said it. He physically, practically, he started to run. And Yusuf alayhi salam, did he not know that 1 door, 2 doors, 7 doors, how am I going to open these doors?
That where's he running then? But say subhanallah. He knew himself. But when he did Rujoo ila Allah, when there's no help left, no one to turn to, then don't be afraid. Just step forward. Even if the wall is solid and you know I can't be saved from this sin. But Allah Ta'ala turned to Allah and say, Allah protect me. Yusuf alayhi salam ran. First door opened. Next door even to open. Seven door opened. Allah Ta'ala freed him. Allah freed him. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So lesson. Amazing. Zulaikha is amazed that all the doors have opened that I tried. And look what Allah Ta'ala has done here. That he turned to Allah and her husband, he was stood in front. And he went to on a journey, didn't he? And he stood in front. And now, we said, what's happened here? And he saw everything. He saw the story unfold. So, then the woman, you know the trap of the woman, the trick. She says, he grabbed me. He was destroying me. He was doing this to a wife, tricking her. What should be the money? She started screaming. And Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, he was the truthful. And he is innocent. The angel, how can you entrap me? How can you say I did nothing wrong? And then, subhanallah, the king said, you step back. Be quiet. Let me speak to him. And then, from that family, from her own family, look here, Allah Ta'ala, how he helps. That if somebody else said something, he said, oh, this was to do with this. But from her own family, someone who knew her, that the child that who was a relative, say, subhanallah. I've gone a little bit off track here from our discussion. And a person who was from our own family relationship, and he testified that you speak. So what was this due to? Think about this point here, that when the nafs, when you want to crush your desires, then this example is nothing. That when Allah Ta'ala orders you that don't waste your time, then problems will come, attractions will come, darkness will come, fitnas will come, sins will come, that where your iman will be on the brink. And how today we are selling our iman. Look, there are songs and films and music and Allahu Akbar. Put your fingers into your ears. Seal your ears. Even now, the tears have evaporated from our eyes. Is this not the case? The tears that we should be crying with. Is it this case? Such fitnas and sins that a person cannot even hear or see. In such places, tell me. So fitnas, but beware. Allah Ta'ala says, even today my servant, my rahmah will come to you, is ready to make you my beloved. Even today I will make you valuable, I'm ready to purchase you. Don't be afraid, don't be scared. Just turn towards me, Allah says, that if a hardship comes, don't be scared. Don't give up. Don't give up at the hands of shaitan. Shaitan will make you give up. Allah says, no. I've given you life, a valuable life. I've given to you, and every breath of your life, Allah say, promise Allah, I don't want to regret. Allah, that if you go into paradise saying regret, what's the point of that? That regretting all the time is bad. Say subhanallah. Regretting all the time is bad. That when you say, regretting, but in Jannah, go in such a way that go happily into Jannah in paradise. That totally I am content and satisfied, Allah. So for that, there's a tariqah method. The brothers, don't give up, don't lose courage. And run towards Allah. Allah's rahmah will come. It will save us. Yes. It will save us. So to make time valuable, shaitan will attack you. Dark nights will come. But Allah's Nabi said, beware that the paths have not ended. Allah's rahmah, the path to Allah's rahmah is open. Yes. Don't sell yourself. Don't waste time. Because shaitan will present you such fitnas that we think, it was a masjid, a nice place. The amount of time we waste in the masjid, I see people wasting time. There's Qurans all around them. Masjid's there, tasbihs are hanging. But they sat there, chit-chat, gossip. Dunya, earning, talking about earning dunya in the masjid. They're talking about wealth and dunya. Deals are made, phone calls are done. In those holy places where a person can imagine that maybe this is that shelter where I won't waste time. There people are sitting and wasting the time. Have we not seen the hadith of what will the hadith become in the final days when the fitnas will come? Ajeeb, weird situation in the masjid. And they will become the headquarters of dunya, the masjids. So much time is being wasted, our time. Yes, so much time. And we need to have fikr. I'm not criticizing. You understand my style. This is to create fikr and concern. that the masjid is such a place that a person, when he arrives to a masjid, it is every breath he comes and says, Allah, I've entered into your door of your home, Allah. I'm in itikaf now in your home. That all the dunya should disappear from me. And there you're chatting, gossiping, azan time, valuable times coming, valuable moments coming. People are backbiting, lying, talking about dunya. Telephones are being looked at, fighting, quarreling on phones and money and deals. Tell me, that a person, if he's a Muslim, where does he go today for protection? And maut, if it comes in this condition, then how will he depart from this world when he dies? So we should not waste time. We should not waste time. Allah Ta'ala says, even if you're in the marketplace, don't waste time in the bazaar. Subhanallah, the worst place, the dirty place, evil place, even there you shouldn't waste place. And today we're wasting time in the masjid. And where time is being made, where there's value, we have hatred. We have hatred for dhikr. We can't even sit for 5 minutes in dhikr. We can't even sit for 10 minutes in dhikr. No, I can't do maraqbah. I don't have time to do dhikr. I feel uneasy. Look how shaitan overwhelms you. We stand up, we run away from the majlis. Say subhanallah. All of these are diseases, I'm telling you. And what else is shaitan? Tell me. What else is the name of shaitan? Tell me. Shaitan is the definition that I won't stop you from eating chapatis or bread or wearing clothes. I won't stop you earning money or your wife children. I have no link with these things. I'll make your shop run, your business run. I'll give you money. Your bank balance will increase. I will give you all of these things. But I have one function, says Shaitan. I won't let you meet Allah. Says Shaitan. Shaitan. All those actions that make you meet Allah, he will make you feel uneasy when you practice those actions. Sunnahs, he'll make you run away from. He'll make you run away from dhikr. Shaitan will make you run away from tilawat. All those actions that introduce you to Allah, take you to Allah, to Allah's nearness, Shaitan will make you far from them. And those things that attach you to the dunya, those things that take you far from Allah, Shaitan will make you love them. He'll force you to run after dunya. He will bring muflis in front of you. He'll make you forced to think that you'll become poor. This is the function of Shaitan. The Quran you've got, hadith you've got, deen you've got. Why don't you understand from the Quran and Hadith, the reality of life? Tell me. Tajweed, you talk about technical points. Take the masail out of the Quran first. That those people who are precious in the eyes of Allah, they remember another point I'd like to share an event with you. Shall I tell you? Muhaddithin. Who are the Muhaddithin? Look here. Sheikh Qazi Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi. I'll share his event with you. He was severely ill. Severely ill, and to meet him, Hazrat Ibrahim, rahmatullah alayh, a great muhaddith of his time, and he was a student of Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayh. So he said, "Okay, let me go and see Hazrat. He's ill. The teacher, I'll meet him," and. He was a student of Imam Malik, and the other teacher was a Hanafi student. So he went to meet him. When he opened his eyes, he saw him. Now look here, those people who don't waste time. We said he's sick and that's it. He's free now. He's left Salah, he's left this and that. Totally not. Even if you are ill, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. You can recite that. By reciting that, you get so much thawab that even if you come back to a healthy state, your sins are forgiven. If you die, then you're shaheed. We can't even recite that when you're ill. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. That we are sick, give up, don't do nothing, I can't do nothing, boss, yar, nothing, no salah, salah forgiven, everything forgiven, no, because I'm sick, everything, and now you dislike. Who told you this, that when you're ill, that you don't do anything? Whatever state you're in. So Hazrat Abu Yusuf, rahmatullahi, Imam Abu Yusuf, he opened his eyes, he was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa, he opened his eyes, he said, oh Allah, I'm grateful, and alim has been sent to me, oh please, solve this, let me speak to you, tell me, he said, Subhanallah. Because death is near to him and he's unconscious. And he says, the student, he says, oh, I've got a question for you. He said, tell me, you come to visit me, that the people when they do Rami on the Hajj, he's asking the Masla, Imam Abu Yusuf Ramdalay, to the student of Imam Malik, the Rami in Hajj, that which one is greater, walking and doing Rami or on transportation? That, tell me, which hal is better? So, Shaykh Ibrahim, rahimahullah, he said that as long as I know, my opinion, as far as I know, that on the transportation, he said no. This is not the case. He said, then by foot? He asked. He said that even you have been quick in answering. He said, not even by foot. So in the sixth state, the time's not even. He said, then? He said, my opinion is this. Look at the masala that comes out. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Knowledge that, look, sometimes I even share and to increase the yaqeen. So what did he say? He said, look, the rami, you know, 10, 11, 12, on the 10th, 11th, 12th of Dhul Hajjah, he said that earth on which you do rami, the after 10th, 11th will come, that when you do rami, at that time, that walking is greater, subhanAllah. And that after that, for example, then at that time on the transportation this is greater. So there are different conditions. And then subhanAllah, he said, how you've come up with this masala? Because he didn't waste his time, subhanAllah. He wasn't wasting his time. And what an example he gave the muhaddithin, the example I give to you, that in times of sickness, severe sickness, and they are teaching the masail or sharing the masail with each other. Imam Shafi, what was his age, tell me? What was his age? That all our young people are 40 years old. Abdullah bin Aziz, as Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi, how old was he? 39. What did he do in his lifetime? Subhanallah. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, what was his maqam? Umar Thani was his title. Second Umar, 39 years old. And he utilized his time 39 years so greatly. And history is amazed. History is amazed that, subhanallah, even now he is praised after centuries. And the thawab, the du'as are done for him. And the thawab is sent to him. Tell me what work he did. Imam Shafi, 40 years old. He was in what work he did in fiqh, in jurisprudence, Imam Shafi, rahmatullah alayh. That, what can we learn from this? What maqam and darja and status he had? Imam. Why? Because they didn't waste time. And we, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, we don't even now wasted time. Just 5 times salah, that's it. Recitation Quran morning of no. Allah Ta'ala has not created us for this reason. Insan, human being, is very valuable. Should understand your value today. We need to promise that after today, not one breath of a second will I waste in my life. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Whoever promises this, raise your hands. You will not waste time. MashaAllah, well done. Promise, the rest is up to Allah. That's it. Why should we waste time, brothers? Why should we waste time? So Allah Ta'ala says, this is good. Allah says, everything I will prepare for you. I've prepared everything for you. Even your breath, I will not take it as a waste. That if your hand and body is in your work, but your heart should be towards Allah. I'll tell you such a wazifa today, Allah says, though your hands and body continue to work in the dunya, and your heart will continue to remember me. That is qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart. That's not, Allah hasn't just given us hardship. Allah says, I've prepared the resources for you that not one breath of yours will be wasted. What examples of great pious predecessors I can give to you who utilized this formula, who made the time precious. That thousands of rupees of work and business daily, but their heart was attached to Allah. Their heart was alive to Allah. They had wife, children, dunya. La talukum awladukum. Allah says, amwalukum. That Allah says in the Quran, that those people, your family, your children, they should not deviate you and take you away from Allah's remembrance. And they will be the khasirun. Who will be the khasirin? The losers in the hereafter. MashaAllah, you know Quran better than me. You read Quran better than me. What does the Quran say? The who will be the khasirin? And khasirin will be a very bad tribe in the hereafter. Khasara. They will earn loss. Those who have attained loss, not a small loss of money or wealth or whatever in the world, those who lost out due to leaving dhikrullah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullah. Allah says, and Allah says, ya, you believe, do not leave dhikrullah due to attachment to the dunya, your family, etc. Morning not, night not, day not, don't do dhikr ever. Those people thought dhikrullah is a joke. And they mocked it. But dhikr is the true, genuine action that every second we can earn through dhikrullah. And these are those same people who will regret. They won't name any ibadah. Allah's Nabi Sallam didn't name any worship action. Those people who regret in Jannah are those people that we left dhikr. Why did we leave dhikr at that time? Why didn't we come in the morning to the majlis dhikr? Why didn't we come in the evening? Tell me. Dhikr is the word they will use when they'll lose out in the after. How valuable is dhikr? That in Jannah they'll regret was they didn't do dhikr for those seconds in their life in the world. And dhikr, when a person's a dhakir, never. That's why the dhakir's maqam will be very high in the hereafter. Why? Not due to it being ibadah, because not a second in their life did they waste away from Allah. Those people who do not do dhikrullah, Quran announces this. Those who don't do qalbi dhikr, who don't do maraqabah, silent dhikr, and thereafter they'll be who, say loudly? The khasireen. Khasireen. The Quran tells us this. Hazrat Gangohi Ramtari, I'd share his event with you, then I'll summarize, conclude. What a beautiful statement. Those people, these are those people who didn't waste time. Subhanallah. They didn't waste time, those people. What did he say? Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah. Hazrat, on this, my Shaykh Rahmatullah, he presented this, so I'm sharing this with you. Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah said that, look, brethren, dhikrullah is never associated with negligence. Beautiful point here. Either you'll be lazy or you'll do dhikr. Two opposites. Cannot be there's night and day together. Do night and day meet together? No. So lazy and doing dhikr, they have no association with that. Either you're lazy or you're dhakir. The person who's doing dhikr, subhanallah, what a great dalil. That he who's doing dhikrullah, doesn't matter how lazy he is while he's doing, but he's not a lazy person. Subhanallah. Understand this point. Understand this point. The person who's doing dhikr, even if he's slow or laid back, but he's not ghafil. So it's proven from here, doesn't matter how you do dhikr, Allah, you're sleepy, drowsy, you can't count it, you're not aware. Doesn't matter what you think, I don't know if my dhikr is counted. Doesn't matter how laid back you are, you're not ghafil, you're a zakir, and the zakir will never be the khasireen. Never. Subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ability. After these words, I conclude the discussion. That message that we've attained today, well, let's do amal on that. What is that? That 1 second of our life, don't waste it. And by wasting our life, save yourself from that. Those who waste their time, they'll be the khasireen, the khasirun in the hereafter. And the way to save yourself from wasting time is only one. If you want to be safe from the khasirun, then teach and learn and do qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart, maraqaba dhikr. Whoever does not learn this, then immediately learn this. And utilize and keep yourself immersed always in maraqabah and pay attention to your heart. Not tongue, not moving the tongue. Do tasbih, etc., whatever you have to do. But the heart, dhikr of the heart, make it so strong in your life, regular with maraqabah and so with the shaykh. Then consider it a treasure beyond treasure. My shaykh said, the dhikr and company of the shaykh. This is nur, light beyond light, amazing achievement. This is not the people of Manchester or the Burnley people or the Bradford people nor the London people. This is with the people of Bolton who have this. Subhanallah. I don't know, Allah Ta'ala, how much He's happy with you that you have dhikr and you have the sohbat of the shaykh, the company of the shaykh. But no, we don't want to do it. That from tomorrow we'll do it. I'm so lazy, negligent. I'm just newly wed. I ain't got time. I'll come some other day. There's no excuse for leaving dhikrullah. Even if you're ill, lie down and do dhikrullah. Dhikrullah, nobody stops. Nothing stops dhikrullah. Beware. Never make yourself lazy. Even if you're dying, Allah's Nabi Sam is saying. Even if you're dying, you should be dying whilst you're doing dhikr. Otherwise, you will die as the khasirun. Because those seconds of your life while you were passing away will be included in the time of negligence with your sick, or your health, or your happy, or distressed, or issues. Not just, unless time for resting, then I'll do dhikr. No, mu'min's time has no time for rest. Dhikr, he can do dhikr, keep doing dhikr. Whether you're going to a wedding, or function, or this, or that, or dunya, keep doing everything. But heart, the dhikr of the heart, continue doing that. Both actions run in parallel. Allah is giving you dunya, you have to be included in the dunya. But in parallel, don't be ghafil, continue focusing and paying attention to Allah. And hold on to this firmly and work hard and make effort is very valuable action. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Shareef.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين تعالى ياسين الحبيب النبيل اللهم صل على سيدنا ولنا محمد النبي الأمي وزواجه محمد المؤمنين وزرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا هزلنا وجدنا خطمنا عمدنا كل ذلك لنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت ما اخرت وما اسرفت وما علمت وما اسرفت تعالى به انت المقدم وانت المؤخر ولا اله الا انت اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. اللهم ثبتنا الإيمان وأمتنا الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين النبيين الصديقين الشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وأشرنا في زمرته يا كريم. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا. يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلياتنا. یا شافی المراض اشفا مرازنا. ہمارے ایک ساتھی شاہ صاحب بیمار ہیں، ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے. اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو صحت کامل عاجلہ نصیب فرمائے. اللہ تعالیٰ بہت جلد ان کو شفا نصیب فرمائے اور اس بیماری پہ ان کو جلد نصیب فرمائے. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینۃ فرشہ وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزۃ عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین. آمین.